We now come to a very special part of our service. Some call it communion, some call it the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. This is a time to focus and concentrate on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not yourself, not others, and not your problems. We all got problems. We all got issues, but this isn't the time to concentrate on that. This is the Lord's time. If you will, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. Or you can look up here. Notice I had you open your Bibles first. Those pages rattling is music to my ears. Okay, this is 1 Corinthians 11:24. This is written by the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about what happened on the last night, known as the Lord's Supper. And that's interesting because Paul wasn't there. However, our Lord had to communicate this to him when he was training him, preparing him to give the gospel. So we'll start with verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, that is the bread, and said, "This is my body, which is for you, given to you. Do this." Underline that, "do this" in your Bible. In the Greek, that's the present active imperative of poeo. That just means to keep on doing this. You don't do it one time, and it is a command to continue to do it in remembrance of me. Verse 25, "In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this.'" Underline that exact same word there. Present active indicative, in other words, keep on doing this. "As often as you drink it, in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." How about that? Jesus Christ is coming again. We don't know when that's going to be. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to obey this command to keep on taking of the bread and the cup and remembering Christ. But a question arises, and that is, how can we remember someone we haven't seen? How can we remember someone we've never met? You know the answer. The answer is right here. It's through the Word. It's through the Word that we can remember Christ. Some of you may not know as much to remember. You may be a recent born-again believer, or you may be an older born-again believer that just didn't get it until now. Hopefully you've got it now. Could be that the only thing you know about Jesus Christ for the most part is that He went to the cross, paid for your sins. He is the Son of God. And that He was resurrected and now offers eternal life to anyone who will accept Him and Him alone for it. Maybe that's all you know. But if you know that, you know quite a bit. A lot of people get it wrong these days. They think that Jesus Christ came to earth in order to make you a better person, in order to co-op with Him, in order to make your life better. That, beloved, is not the gospel. Jesus Christ came to earth, stepped out of the glories of heaven, in order to be a man, lower than angels. And His mission was to get to the cross, in order to pay for your sins and my sins. Because we have a mighty and fierce God, and He is righteous and He is just. And it's not about making you live a better life or helping you live a better life. It's about saving you from the wrath of God and eternal damnation. That is what the gospel is about. There's many things that we could think about when we are passing out the elements. There are two elements. We have the bread and we have the cup. The bread speaks of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Many times in the Bible it talks about the Son of God, and Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It speaks of His deity. But also refers to Him as the Son of Man. Son of Man speaks of His humanity. Now, don't get confused. When it says the Son of Man, it doesn't mean that Jesus Christ had a human father. He did not have a human father. If He did, we would have no salvation. Because it is the man that passes on the old sin nature. And you see, the type of bread that we eat is unleavened bread. And that unleavened bread speaks of Christ's perfect humanity. He couldn't sin, not even one time. Even a mental attitude sin would have been enough in order to cancel out our so great salvation. We think of Jesus Christ and His humanity. That's what the bread is speaking of. And the bread speaks of, just think of this, the man part of the God-man. See, Jesus Christ is both God and He is man at the same time. He is undiminished deity and true humanity residing in one person forever. I looked up in the dictionary one time an interesting word. He is the theanthropic person. Would you like me to spell that? Okay. See, if you say this around your friends, they're going to think, well, you're really smart. You really know a lot about the Bible. But make sure you know what it is when you tell them. It's theanthropic. Theanthropic. It's a compound word. Comes from two words. The first part is theos, of course, means God. And the second word, or part of the word, comes from anthropos, meaning man. He is the God-man. He is unique. There's no one like Jesus Christ. Because the other members of the deity aren't humanity. And there is no humanity, there is no man that is also God. When He went to the cross, everything was riding on Him. There was no backup plan, there was no second chance, there was nothing. Think about these things when you receive the bread. You see, one reason that I love this special time is because every one of us needs to be doing the same thing, concentrating on Jesus Christ. We have some young people here. Love to see the young people. You're responsible during this time also to concentrate on Jesus Christ. You can't be thinking on any homework you may have not done, or some homework you might have done really proud of. Any tests? Any girlfriends or boyfriends? That's for another time. This time is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, you adults too, you have your own issues that can kind of be lurking about in the back of your mind. Bills. Food. I don't want you to be thinking about how you're going to have to get everything arranged. The Lord has provided, and He's going to continue to provide. And I don't want, if your stomach is growling, that's okay. You'll live until the end of this service. Isn't it wonderful? This is the royal family of God united together, doing the same thing, concentrating on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not powerful? We'll never know how much humility it took for the God of the universe to become a man. I'm sure the angels were shocked not only to become a man, which is lower than the angels, but, by the way, just temporarily, but to go to the ghastly horrors of the cross for you and for me. This is the Jesus Christ that Johnny was singing about. Oh, how wonderful, oh, how marvelous. That's what you want to be thinking about during the time that the bread is passed out. And it's so wonderful because when you partake of that bread, you are publicly demonstrating that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't get to do that every day in a public way. That's what you're doing. And if you don't trust in the Lord Jesus, you don't have any business partaking of that bread. It would be ritual without reality, which is absolutely meaningless. Then we have the cup. Oh, the cup. The cup represents the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. You know, Jesus Christ died twice on the cross. He died spiritually for our sins. That was the payment. Separation from God. He was still alive when he said, "It is finished," by the way. His mission was finished, and that was get to the cross and pay for your sins and my sins. And then he died physically because his mission had been accomplished. He said, "No one takes away my life. I give it up voluntarily." When I think of Golgotha, the skull, what Christ had to do in order to purchase our so great salvation, sometimes it causes me to tremble. There's a great song about that. When we partake of that cup, we should have an overwhelming sense of appreciation. That was the singular event in all history. Even God the Father, God the Holy Spirit had to turn their back on Jesus Christ during that time. For 3 hours, Jesus Christ continued to scream out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, he knew why. He was fulfilling Scripture. In fact, everything he said on the cross was fulfilling Scripture. Oh, how wonderful, oh, how marvelous. God demonstrated his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. Now, if God could do the most for us at salvation, when we were his enemies, what can he do for us now that we are his children? There's so much to think about during this time. Actually, it's kind of a test. You pass the test if you can concentrate on Jesus Christ during this few moments that we have of passing out the elements. It's a privilege and an honor to do it. Now, I must have one cautionary note, and that is, this is to be done with reverence and not to be taken lightly. The Corinthians showed up drunk. They would eat and not leave enough for the others. They would do things of that sort and dishonored the Lord, and they paid. They received warning discipline, intensified discipline, even some of them died to sin unto death. Now, this isn't to scare you. This is just to underscore how important it is what we are about to do. I'm so thankful that the Lord commanded us to do this, because in the life that we live, in this hustle-bustle time, we've got so many things to do that we can just squeeze the Lord right out. And this brings our focus together, corporately, right here, back to what really matters. And what really matters is always the Lord. Now, in keeping with that idea, we're going to have a few moments of silent prayer. During that time, it gives you the opportunity to do a little self-evaluation. Make sure there's no mental attitude sins or any kind of sins that you haven't confessed lurking about, so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, because we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this time that we can be alone with You, and yet at the same time, be with our other sisters and brothers in the Lord. We pray that You will flood our souls with those fragrant memories, those doctrines that we know about Christology and about our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that You will do that as we partake of the bread, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripe we are healed. On that occasion before our Lord was to go to the cross, He took the bread, and He blessed it, He broke it, and said, "This is My body that is given for you. Take and eat thereof." Now again, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to focus upon the work of our mighty Lord. We pray again that You will help us to remember those doctrines, those wonderful doctrines of His great humility and love towards us as He hung on the cross. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. It's our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. And he, God the Father, has laid upon him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. On that same occasion, our Lord took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." We will stand and sing hymn number 258. We'll sing it softly on the third verse, crescendo on the last verse. Let us stand as we sing. How y'all doing? You too hot? Yes, no. Well, whatever it is, we don't have a whole lot more time. And if you're too hot, it's okay. And if you're too cold, it's okay. There is no temperature I can put it on to satisfy people. Not all the people, anyway. Okay, we've been in the fundamental series, and we're just going to do a little this morning. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you make choices every day. You can make a choice to take the low road or the high road. And I'm going to show you what those are. I hope you'll forgive the stick figure. It isn't important. That's you. And that's me. That's the believer. I wish I kind of looked more like that stick figure, but in any case, we have to make decisions. And you can decide to go the low road. The low road is leaving God out. You can very well live your life and really not hardly ever give Him a thought. You can go through your life and be so full of details that your life really is encompassed by the details of your life. In other words, as far as you're concerned, your thoughts are concerned with what do I have to do today? I've got to go to my day planner. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do the other things. And you just squeeze God right out of it. You can do that because He gave you volition. However, if you do that, you will be on the low road, and here's the first thing that happens. You start having doubts. You don't get out of spiritual kindergarten until, first of all, you understand that you are a child of God, and nothing can change that. God does not give a gift like eternal life and then allow you to blow it. You are secure. We call that the doctrine of eternal security. Until you understand that, no matter what you have in life, you're never going to have what you would really like, the courage and confidence and contentment, because you're always going to be worrying, okay, this life is going to be over someday, then what? And you're going to be waking up at night, maybe sometimes wondering, am I going to go to hell? When I die, is that a permanent dirt nap? What happens? I'm sorry, that's what you get the gist. There's some people who think that. And you're going to be full of doubts. The more that you stay in this book, the less doubts you're going to have. The more that you are filling your soul with that spiritual manna from heaven, which is God's mighty word, the less you're going to doubt, and then you're going to be able to conquer that one too. I just put being afraid up there. Of course, the main one is worry, isn't it? How would you like to defeat worry? You have the power to, you know. You have the God, the Holy Spirit, not only indwells you, but when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do things that you can't do by yourself. You cannot conquer worry by yourself, but you can. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're thinking God's thoughts, in other words, we call that Bible doctrine, then you're not afraid. You put it in perspective. You start thinking in terms like this. Okay, this came into my life. I don't like it. It hurts. It's suffering. But God allowed it to come into my life for a purpose. He's going to accelerate my spiritual growth. And I'm going to be rewarded someday with rewards that are going to last eternal, for all eternity. That kind of put the lid on this afraid business. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. You can't mess it up so bad that God can't take care of it. Now, that's not a solicitation to try that out. I mean, we pretty well do that on our own, don't we? God can unscramble eggs. Just came to me. Nothing with Him is impossible, is it? I know He can. If He can take care of the whole world's problems, He can take care of your issues and my issues. Next thing is insecure. Insecurity is that hollow feeling you have inside. It's kind of akin to the being afraid and fear factor. There's a show, by the way, called The Fear Factor. Why don't Christians come up with another show that is just the other side of the coin to this? Courage in Command or something like this, and show how people are trusting the Lord and how the Lord is faithful and comes through. Oh, uptight. Do we have any uptight people here today? Come on, let's see that smile. Okay. See, when you're uptight, it can be for various reasons, but most of the time people are uptight because they really don't understand God's grace. I've been talking to a few people about this lately. God is not up in heaven with a scorecard. We have a loving, merciful, gracious God. I got a call, when was it, Carrie? Yesterday or the day before? A guy from Tennessee called me. And he said he had a doctrinal question. So when I came in, Carrie told me, well, you've got a doctrinal question here. This guy wants to ask you. I said, oh, man. This could be something that's not going to be pretty before it's over with. I was a little bit anxious about calling. But anyway, I did call him. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood what to do with post-salvational sinning, which we call rebound. 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He understood that. He said, but you know, what do you do? He says, I study the Bible twice a day. He says, and I always want to rebound or make sure that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord won't hear you. So he says, what if there is a sin lurking about that I'm not aware of? And I miss it. I can't think of it. But I'm going to do a Bible study. Am I not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit because that sin was there and I didn't name it. I didn't remember it. Or I didn't know, wasn't aware of it. And this is no subject to bring up with such short time that I have, but I'll just tell you what I told him. God doesn't have a notebook up there. He's not trying to say, aha, gotcha. He's not trying to catch you in something. You know what? This whole thing about confession of sin is important, but it's about your attitude. It's about humility. God makes war against the arrogant, but He gives grace to the humble. And when you go and you start to do a self-analysis, sometimes it's not hard. Sometimes it's real easy. I catch myself sometimes. Oh, I'm not going to go any further there. You know what to do. You know what to do. You acknowledge that sin to God. I mean, you're crabby, grumpy, snippy, and you are out of fellowship. You don't have to really struggle to find out, oh, yeah, I was really a toot. I guess being a toot is a sin. God knows what you're talking about. But sometimes you have to struggle trying to think, is there... The whole point is, when we're talking about uptight, don't be uptight with God. He's on your side. He's done the most for you already. So, I had a question one time. Somebody asked me, if you go a few miles over the speed limit, is that a sin? I said, man, I've got bigger fish to fry than that. God isn't up there trying to catch you in something. He's interested in your attitude. Being uptight usually is a sign that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're concentrating on moi, on me. You're the center of the universe, and everybody's job is to make you happy. And they're not doing their job. And you're uptight about it. I have to press on because I've got a lot more to show you. All this can lead up to, with mental attitudes, divine discipline. You're your own worst enemy, and I'm my own worst enemy most of the time. We call it self-induced misery. And you know what gets us in more trouble than anything else? Right there. So, but God has given us, in His grace, a way to handle post-salvational sinning. We acknowledge it to God, and it is removed as far as the east is from the west. That's what you call grace. We don't earn or deserve that any more than we earned or deserved Christ going to the cross on our behalf. Now, if you ignore this, you've got divine discipline. You already have self-induced misery, and then God turns up the heat, and you don't want to go to the divine woodshed. That is no fun. When that happens, if you get bitter instead of better, if you get hardened, then He just might take you out. This is S-U-D. That's not a soap sud. That's a sin unto death. And He will do that. That's what you have to look forward to if you decide to go on the low road. Now this line here is solid till you get to here. This is your time here on earth. I don't know how long that's going to be, but eventually it's going to start being dotted. That's afterwards. See, you have a choice of going in a high road, I'll show you in a minute, or the low road here, sin unto death. And here, you're going to be minus rewards. And I already know what some of you are thinking. Well, I'm going to be in heaven, so what? I don't get rewards. Yeah, you say that now. There might be places in heaven, it says, beyond believers, stay out. Something like that. In other words, if you wasted your time here, part of the rewards are going to be the extra privileges, opportunities, crowns, decorations, rewards, all that. And these are going to last for all eternity. And the Bible says they are so great that God just opens the door a little bit for us to see it, how wonderful they are. If we really knew how wonderful they were, there'd probably be blood all over the place. People would be committing hara-kiri just to get there. Of course, our pea brains, compared to what God has to offer us, can't really comprehend it. That's the low road. Here is the high road. If you decide to take the high road, you're going to have confidence instead of doubt, courage instead of being afraid. You're going to be secure instead of insecure. You're going to have a RMA instead of being uptight. You know what RMA is, don't you? Let's hear it. How about that, huh? All right. You can say it, but do you have it? That's none of my business, by the way. SG blessings. What is that? Super grace blessings. See, every child of God gets what we call logistical grace. I call it the get-by grace, and that's not to disparage it in any way, but compared to the super grace, that's what it is. By the way, every believer that decides to take the low road has logistical grace. God is going to provide for that believer everything that he needs in order to fulfill his plan. In the military, they call it beans and bullets. In other words, clothes, transportation, food, all these type of things he provides. But super grace blessing is when God pours and pours and pours to where your cup runs over. You can have that. It's your choice. And instead of the sin unto death, you can have dying grace. That means you go out with no fear, with great anticipation of meeting Jesus Christ face to face. No more sorrow, no more tears. The old things have passed away. And you've looked past your adversities. You've been living your life in the light of eternity. And now you're just going from one place into another. And you know, it's not a leap into the darkness, into the unknown. Because you studied your eschatology, you know what's coming next. And then, plus rewards. And if you don't know what the rewards are, you don't know what you're missing. You can go to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. A lot of them are there. But we need to live our life in the view of eternity. Then when you step out of this life into eternity, it's no big deal. It's just like parents who rear their children properly and give them enforced humility. And they acquire genuine humility. And then when they reach adulthood and they leave the nest, it's no big change. It's what they're used to. In other words, our lives right now are preparing us for what's next. But most people have blinders on. They're only thinking about the here and now. Now, here's a big question. Y'all ready for it? If you're down here, how do you get up here? Isn't that an important question? All of us are here down, are here sometimes. There it is right there. Bible doctrine. That's what it's the Word of God that's going to make the difference in your life. And you can say, I'll be oblivious to it. I got too many things to do. Well, that's fine. You'll stay on the low road. And that's what you have to look forward to. Or you can study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. And you're going to start being up here on the high road. Is that where you want to be? Did y'all happen to see this little PS here and ES? Anybody notice that? How many people know what that is? What that stands for? Go ahead, raise your hand. I want to see. Okay. You know what the PS is, you know what the ES is, huh? Well, eternity is good. It's pretty good. Some of them, I know what they're thinking, is experiential sanctification, right? That's what we've been studying. Right? Yeah. But you're all wrong. No, I'm just teasing. You're right, but there's another. I've got another thing for it. The elite squad. Huh? You want to be on the elite squad? If you want to be on the elite squad, then you've got to know what experiential sanctification is. And many of you know. Just during your time, during this solid line here in time, you are being experientially, your life experience is being sanctified. What does sanctified mean? Set apart for blessing. And you'll be on the elite squad. Now, I don't know, maybe you were in drama or was big in math. You never got out on the football field or did any of the sports or anything. Now you can be on the elite squad. Or the girls, what do? They're drill teams and all. Oh, the PS? You said that's positional sanctification? Of course, that means these are believers. None of this has anything to do with losing your salvation. You are positionally, and I want to hear it, two words. Oh, that was weird. Let's do it again. You are positionally
in Christ.
Okay. In Christ. You can't get out of Christ. He's in you and you're in Him. And God saw to it that that's going to be eternal. Isn't that wonderful? So this is positional sanctification. Positionally, they're set apart for blessing. Now, they're going through all kinds of hell down here, but they're still in Christ and they're still going to heaven. That's what that means. That's what some of you are thinking, right? Well, you're wrong. No, you're really right. But this is the elite squad. This is the peon squad. So you can be on the peon squad, or you can be on the elite squad. If you're down here, wah, 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 who do you blame? Right? Because you're making the choices. And the only way to go from here to get up here, and this is where God wants you to be. That's the abundant life. And it's not just for this time experientially on earth. For all eternity, it's going to be that way. Mary, if you don't mind, you and your group can go ahead and start getting ready. The rest of y'all, we're testing your concentration now. All eyes up here. They know where they're going. They don't need your eyes to help them. This is a good group. They weren't doing that anyway, but I'd just like to say that. Positional sanctification is the same as justification. The moment that you believe in Jesus Christ, in that point of time, boom, the Lord of the universe said, you're justified. And you are positionally, what? Sanctified, set apart from blessing. For blessing. Can anything change that ever? No way, Jose. So, it's based on faith alone and is a work of God. And I could go into the Greek and show you the aorist tense and the perfect tense and all those things. And we've gone through this in the fundamental series, haven't we? Experiential sanctification is where people get mixed up. Experiential sanctification is a work of man and God and is achieved by faith plus works. That's right. Faith plus works. Experientially. This is how you get to the high road and stay on the high road. Doing divine good, but you have to understand how to execute the Christian way of life, how to get on that high road, and that's done by faith alone, in Christ alone, and then you have to continue to study the Word. Let me ask you this. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, how often did they get bread? Manna? Huh? Every day? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? How often do you eat? Huh? Most of us eat every day, don't we? Some of us eat a lot every day. This is not the time to be saying this. You ought to see what they have out here. But anyhow, the point is, we need that spiritual nourishment from God, that manna from heaven, His Word, every day. Oh, you know where we're going to be? The low road. What happens is, where people get mixed up, is when they take the faith plus works and try to put it towards positional sanctification or justification. You are not saved by faith plus works. And now we're going to go through some verses, not today, but we'll do it next Sunday, that appears on the surface that you have to have faith plus works to be saved. In James chapter 2, verse 24. Faith without works is dead. Can that faith save you? Well, we'll get to that. But that's going to be another day. Now, I'm going to close in prayer. But before I do, let me tell you what the routine is going to be. First thing we're going to do is open those doors and get some cool air in here. I don't know about y'all. Some of you still have your jackets on. The only reason I have my jacket on is because I think I'm supposed to, or, you know, that's what we do. And then we're just going to mingle around for just a bit. You can go outside if you want to, because they're putting the finishing touches on the meal. And everyone is invited to eat with us. And then I would like the older, the senior citizens, those that have been experientially sanctified for a long time, they're the elite squad, they get to go to the front. No, whether you are or not, it's none of our business, but if you are in the senior citizen group, the senior citizens, then you be at the first of the line, okay? And then I'll say a prayer before we have the meal, and then we'll chow down, okay? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, what an absolute privilege it is to be here, to sing songs to Your mighty name, and to hear those wonderful hymns sung so beautifully. We thank You for that. But more importantly, we thank You for Your grace, the salvation that is in Jesus Christ our Lord that can never be lost, never taken away. We're so thankful for Your Word that is so rich. It's alive and powerful. Even though this is a crude little stick figure diagram, what it is portraying is absolutely profound. You've given us volition. We can choose. Help us to choose the right way. Help us to get into Your Word, because we are spiritual creatures in a physical body. So many of the times we neglect the spiritual. So help us to recognize what our purpose is and look to You and make You the Lord that is above all. You are the Lord that is above all, but we have to understand it. Life is more than details. We're preparing for what's next. We thank You for all of this. We pray it in the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord and only Savior. Amen.